The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
So we're talking about the way of the Lord. Proverbs 10:29 says the way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. Strength to the upright. And that's what we need in the body of Christ today. We need the strength of the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Sometimes we have a tendency to lean to our own understanding. We're all prone to that from time to time. We're human, but we want to hear from God. I believe we all want to hear. You wouldn't be here this morning if you didn't have a desire to hear from God. You'd be, I don't know. You'd be fishing. You'd be sleeping. You'd be washing your car and waxing it. Probably not in the rain, huh? I don't know what you'd be doing. You'd be doing something other than spending a couple hours in a church service. You must be wanting something from God, to hear God. And we hope that you're hearing from God. I hope that when you walk in those doors, God starts speaking to you about specific things. I want Him to speak to you all the time. But I hope He uses the prophetic ministry to speak into your life. I hope He uses the word that I speak here on Sunday mornings to speak into your life. I hope that you're hearing from God here in this place. That's my desire. We're looking at the way of the Lord. And in Psalms 19, we've also been taking this particular scripture and breaking it down. And verse 8 says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. That's the first part of that. The statutes of the Lord. A statute is a precept, a decree. A precept is a rule that says how people should behave. In Genesis chapter 26, God is speaking to Isaac. And He's telling Isaac that because Abraham obeyed My voice, kept My charge, My commands, My commandments, My statutes, and My laws. So He said, because of this, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to do some things in your life. If you will hear and live within the boundaries that I have established. As we go through this message this morning, a subtitle for this particular message is Living Within the Boundaries God Has Established for You. I believe that God has established overall boundaries for all of us. He gave us the Ten Commandments. He gave us His Word. There are certain things that every one of us understand our boundaries that we should live within. We know what the law, the Ten Commandments says. We understand that we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, love people. We've got it. That's what Jesus taught us. But beyond that, there are sometimes God speaks specifically to individual people about specific boundaries that He wants us to live within. And a boundary for me may not necessarily be a boundary for Deb. That's why we have to hear God's voice for ourselves and walk within those boundaries that God establishes. And if we do, I believe that there are certain things that take place. Because a statute is an ordinance, a limit, a boundary, a border, a perimeter. So basically what He's telling us here in this scripture is that God establishes boundaries for our life, and if we will live within those boundaries, it'll make our life a whole lot better and a whole lot easier. Amen. I'm not telling you that being a Christian is going to be an easy thing. The Bible says you have to pick up your cross and follow Him. Now, there's tough times, but there's no reason for us to create our own problems by living outside of the boundaries that God has established for us. A man in a hot air balloon realized that he was lost. He was floating around. And he saw a lady down there, and he floated down to her, and he asked her, he said, I'm supposed to be someplace at a certain time. Can you help me? Where am I? She said, you're in a hot air balloon hovering approximately 30 feet above the ground. You're between 40 and 41 degrees north latitude and between 59 and 60 degrees west longitude. The man in the balloon said, you must be an engineer. She said, yes, how'd you know that? He said, well, everything you've told me is technically correct, but it hasn't helped me a bit. She said, well, you must be in management. He said, that's right. How'd you know that? Well, said the woman, you don't know where you are. You don't know where you're going. You have risen to where you are due to a large quantity of hot air. If you're in management, I'm not trying to give you too hard of a time this morning. You made a promise which you had no idea how to keep, and you expect people beneath you to solve your problems. Is that right, Otis? The fact is, you are in exactly the same position you were in before you met me, and now somehow it's my fault. If we're not careful, if we do not allow God to set the boundaries, the perimeters in our life, we will be like somebody in a hot air balloon that doesn't have control of it. And we will just float around from place to place, all over the place, never accomplishing anything significant for the kingdom of God. That's why God gives us these boundaries in our lives, so that we can walk in them, and we will know, okay, hey, I'm getting pretty close to this boundary that God, I better turn around and go back. God established that boundary for me. If I cross over that boundary, there's going to be consequences. It's not because God hates you. In fact, He sets boundaries because He loves you. My youngest daughter, Bethany, which Ivy spoke to this morning, very strong-willed child. When she was 2 years old, she was very strong-willed. It took lots of discipline with her. Thank God for that strong will, because she's grown into a beautiful, wonderful wife and mother. Amen. Right, Brady? Yes. Amen. Good, good answer, son. Yeah. Amen. But she was the kind, and I know where she gets it from. You draw the line, she would walk right up to that line. And if you turned your head, she'd step over. And if you stopped looking for a while, she would be on the other side of that line. Now, there's a lot of people like that. And I think it's a good quality, as long as you learn to allow God to shape and mold it. Because you're the kind of person that nobody, there isn't a person on the face of the earth can tell you that you can't accomplish something if you set your mind to it. Doesn't matter what they say. You're going to do it. You're going to accomplish it. You can do that. There's no doubt about it. But let God set the boundaries for you, so that you can walk down the middle of the road knowing that no one's going to run over you, because you are in God's will. You're exactly where God wants you to be. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And I'm going to try to make this as brief as possible, because I truly believe that the mind can only conceive as much as the backside can endure. So I don't want this to go too long. But I can tell you this, boundaries are extremely important. Boundaries need to be set in just about every area of our life. We need to have boundaries in our relationships. Look out if you don't have boundaries in your relationships. Learn to say, I can't go that far. I can't do that. Learn to say no sometimes. I know that's painful for some people to hear, and I know that's painful to do, but it's a reality. As a pastor, I have to be able to say, no, I can't do that. You must understand, everybody has their idea of what a perfect pastor is, and I'm as far away from that as possible, because I'm not perfect. But everyone has a different idea of what a pastor is and what a pastor should do and the way he should perform his duties and the way he should act and the way he should dress and the car he should drive and the things he should do. Everybody has their opinion. It's like belly buttons. We all have them. Praise God, we all have them. Amen? Some are innies, some are outies. Right? The outies, I'm talking about personalities here. No. You understand? The outies, you notice them. They tell you how they feel and what they expect. The innies are not so much, you know. Sometimes you have to try to figure them out. Sometimes they're passive resistors. If they get mad at you, instead of telling you about it, they just do something a little off to the side to try to hurt you, jab a knife in you. Sometimes they don't even realize that they're doing that. It's become a behavior, a mechanism to protect themselves. Now, I don't know why I'm talking about this, but this is reality. God loves us all, and He created every one of us exactly the way we are. That doesn't mean He wants you to stay the way you are. That means you are who you are, and He's shaping you, He's molding you. And if I'm talking about you this morning, He is using this message to speak into your life so that you can make some changes that will help you establish boundaries in your relationships, in your church involvement. You know, praise God, as a pastor, it pains me to say that not everybody can do everything in the church. You know where I am. I want everybody to do all of it. I want us all to work together on every project. It can't happen. Not everybody's gifted for every part of ministry. So you got to have boundaries in your church as well. Don't try to do everything. You have to have boundaries in your finances. Glory to God, the church needs to hear this. Amen. Boundaries. Know what your income is. Live within your means. Listen, I love what John Wesley used to teach. He taught, earn all you can. Save all you can. But give all you can. What a principle. If we as the Church of Jesus Christ was living by that principle, every mouth could be fed on the face of the earth. I believe that. All right. Now let me get off this horse and get back to the message. Amen. Genesis chapter 26. What we're going to look at are some boundaries that God gave Isaac and what happened when Isaac listened to what God said and lived within his boundaries. Genesis chapter 26. Here we go. We'll begin reading 1 through 3. There was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went down to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father." Okay, this was a very difficult time for Isaac. Famine. No doubt the famine, most likely the famine was created by drought. There wasn't enough rain, wasn't enough food. Things got really tough. Isaac was living in the land that Abraham, that God told Abraham he could have. He didn't know what to do. He went to the Philistines and lived in this, close to this town, city that they had created. And he must have been thinking about going to Egypt. Don't you think when we just read that, God said, don't go? So he must have been thinking about it. Thinking about going down. You know, things are a lot better in Egypt. Have you ever thought that? In your particular situation, you know, if I could just maybe go to Egypt, it'd be better. Maybe if I could just get out of this particular situation, this job or this relationship or whatever it is. If I could just cross over that boundary that God told me to stay within, it would be better on the other side. That's a lie from the enemy. I can tell you, it's not going to get better on the other side. The children of Israel wanted to go back to Egypt. You know what they always said? Oh, you know, in Egypt, at least we had garlic and leeks and onions to eat. Yeah, what a diet. But that's what they would say. At least we had that. They forgot about the slavery part of what was going on back in Egypt. They didn't think about the consequences of going back to Egypt. If, listen to me, if you go back to Egypt, if you get outside of the will of God, there will be consequences. And it's very painful. Stay within those boundaries that God has given you. The first thing we want to look at, let's look at verse 12. God told Isaac to stay in the land. So evidently Isaac listened to what God said. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. This is exciting because, first of all, we have to understand there is a famine in the land. You don't sow seed during famine. You're just wasting your time. It's not going to grow. From a natural perspective, you're not going to produce anything. But listen, when you live within the boundaries that God has established for you in your household, in your family, it doesn't matter how much drought and famine seems to be going on all around you. If you do it, you will sow and you will reap. And the Word of God says He reaped 100-fold. Incredible. Stay there. Do what God tells you to do. Whatever He's speaking to you today, wherever you are, whatever situation you are in, God has not abandoned you. Do not leave the boundaries that He has established for you. Stay in them. Listen to Him. Amos 8:11 says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." Listen, there is a famine in the land today. We know that. We can look around. There is a famine for the Word of God. I don't care how many churches there are, there's not enough preaching the real Word of God. That's telling people there are boundaries. God has expectations of His people. If you come to Jesus Christ, yes, He heals your sin. He delivers you. Your sin is wiped away. Praise God, but you have a responsibility to serve Him with your lifestyle. You can't just live any way you want and expect God's blessings to come upon your life. We have a responsibility to make sure that everybody knows that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He wants to be Lord of your life. That means you allow Him to dictate how you live. And He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. There's an old Jewish saying. It says, where there is no bread, there will be no Torah. That's first five books of the Word of the Bible, or the Word of God according to the Jewish tradition. Where there is no Torah, there will be no bread. Jewish people believe that famine is a judgment. It's a judgment that's brought in on, physical famine is a judgment brought on because of a famine of the Word of God. The people are not hearing the Word. So it's manifest in the earth. We can believe that there is some truth to that because, the Bible tells us that the blood of Abel, it actually cried out from the earth. And the earth moans for the coming and the manifestation of the sons of God. That's exciting stuff for us. Yes. Our world, the earth that God created, although we know that there's physical stuff out there and we walk through the dust and we're made of dust, but everything is spiritual. And when we violate the spiritual principles of Almighty God, it shows up in our atmosphere, in our weather, in our lives on a regular basis. Jesus said in Luke 4:4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. Hearing from God is not always an easy thing. How many have just prayed and asked God for His direction and you just didn't feel like you really got the direction? It's okay. You can raise your hand. I've been there. Don't have to worry. We've all been there. We just didn't feel like we necessarily got direction. But I'm going to tell you, in those times, this is the way that I have learned to discern or tried my best to discern God's will, is that I pray, I ask God for His direction, then I choose what I feel is the logical direction and ask God, Lord God, if I'm wrong, put a stop to it. Change our direction. But I'm going to move forward. Because we can't just sit around and wait for God to do something. That's not the way He created things here in the earth. He put Adam and Eve here and He said what? Tend the garden. Take care of it. Expand His garden all over the world. Make a paradise for people. Be fruitful and multiply. He told them to do several things. Is He with them? Was He with them? Did He manifest Himself? Absolutely. He came every day and talked to them. And even after their fall, He still was with them. He was still guiding and directing them. That's our God. But we have to make some decisions sometimes. You know, when we, as a church, when we first, when I first became pastor at South Bethel New Testament Church, it's about 2 miles out in the country, across from Eastern High School. little country church out there in the country. We started growing, and we were seeking God what to do. Now, I got to tell you, there was a lot of people in that church that wanted to stay there. I wasn't necessarily one of them. I'm just being honest. However, I said, God, if this is your will, I mean, two miles back a gravel road, people don't even know we're back here. If this is your will, I don't care. You are able to grow this place and manifest and cause it to happen. If this is your will, we'll do it. But it's not my desire. I'm just honest with God. My desire was, and you see it, 5 acres, at least 5 acres on Route 7. And we are. But we did, I got to tell you, I did not try to manipulate that. People knew what my desire was, but I said, God, listen, if this is your will, we're going to do it. We'll stay here. We'll build. We'll accomplish here in this place. There isn't a famine that can stop people from coming. And we tried. We talked to neighbors. We tried to purchase property. We got to run around time and time again. And one Sunday, we had an incredible move of God. The power of God just moved on, we had a Sunday school class at that time, and he started in the Sunday school, and then it went into our worship service. People were running and shouting. We were acting Pentecostal. Can you imagine that? Some of them didn't even know what Pentecostal was. But we were getting crazy because the Holy Spirit was moving on people. And one of the things he told us to do was open those doors in the back. Open it up. Wide open. And we received an interpretation of what God was doing. He said, the Spirit of God is leading you out. So not long after that, we found this piece of property, and we were able to build. But I got to tell you, I had come to the conclusion that I was willing to do whatever God wanted in that situation. Am I a great man of God because of it? No. I just want to follow God. That's all. I just want to hear from God. I want you all to know something. God is stirring my spirit again with some things. Oh, gosh. I can't even talk about it without becoming emotional. The Spirit of God is doing something new in this place. And there's some things that are going to happen in the near future. I can't tell you exactly what it is. I just know God is doing something. And he spoke to me. And he said, I want you to prepare. Get ready. For there's some things happening that you cannot understand at this time. I just want to follow his spirit. So we're going to be making some huge steps of faith in the near future. Get ready. Come on. That song, come on. God is doing something. Come on. Amen. Let's get in it. All things are possible. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. All right. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here because I need to stay on track here. When you live within your God-given boundaries, you will encounter opposition. Verse 15 and 16, now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, and they had filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are much mightier than we. Now, if we would go on reading about this, we find out, well, let me just say, the opposition, there was an enemy. That even though there was spiritual and physical power an accomplishment in the land. Abraham went around and dug those wells, but he did it because God said, wherever you go, I'm going to give you this land. So there was something very spiritual happening here. At the same time, there's something very spiritual happening on the other side when the Philistines come along and fill up the well. They put garbage and junk in the wells. There was good, clean, pure water coming out. Be careful that you do not let the enemy fill your wells with garbage.
That's right. That's right.
He will do it. He'll fill it up. Our nation has been filled with garbage. It's time our forefathers dug some wells. I'm telling you, there was some spiritual wells that was dug in revivals in the past. The Wesleyan revivals, the holiness revivals, the revivals that touched the lives, the first great awakening, the second great awakening, the third great awakening, the Pentecostal renewal, all these things. Our forefathers dug wells for us. The problem is, it seems like we have these things, we have these revivals, our forefathers dig wells, and then the church backs off and the enemy comes in and fills his wells up. And we need to start all over again. I'm telling you, that's where we are right now. We backed off. We've moved out. We went to live with the Philistines for a while. But now it's time. It's time for the church. It's time for Isaac. It's time for God's people to rise up. It's time for God's people to get out there, because we have some work to do. There's work to be done. You know, expect opposition. Opposition is going to come. There's a battle that has to be fought. But I can tell you this, when you fight the battle and you know that you know that you know your God is on your side, you will be victorious. The enemy can't stop God. If you know you're hearing from God, you're walking within the boundaries that God has set for you, praise God, there's blessings. You can plant in the middle of a famine. And reap 100-fold. The enemy's still going to come in and try to stop you. That's opposition. So there's going to be blessings. If you walk in the boundaries that God has set for you, there's going to be blessing. You're going to reap. But there's also going to be opposition. Expect it. Expect opposition. Listen, as Christians, I don't know where we ever got this idea that you get saved and everything is okay from there on out. The rest of your life is going to be a cakewalk. Everything's going to be fine and dandy. That's a lie. Life happens. Sometimes it's just life. Other times, it's the enemy. You know, it really doesn't matter as long as we know who our God is, as long as we put our trust in Him. So there is going to be opposition. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The enemy is firing at the saints. Sometimes the reason we become casualty is because we have stepped outside of those boundaries. You know what your boundaries are. We all know what the Bible says about specific boundaries that we're supposed to live within. But you know the boundaries that God has set for your life. You know what you can do and where you can go and what can happen. The Holy Spirit will deal with each and every person in here. When I think about this, I refer back to the great gospel program, Hee Haw. I grew up watching that. And, you know, Doc Campbell is confronted with a patient who says he broke his arm in two places. And the doc says, well, stay out of those places. There's a lot of wisdom in that. If you're getting hurt in some places, stay out of those places. If there's some things going on in those places, stay out of those places. So he was a prophet, I think. God's word is so powerful in our lives. We have to recognize that there are certain things that happen. That the enemy creates an environment for us to be tempted. But if we will be aware of where our boundaries are, we'll not get caught up in the enemy's temptation. The reason that we sometimes get caught in the temptation of the enemy is because we get a little too close to that line. And right there at that line, there's some temptation. Listen, if you're trying to stay away from sweets, Dairy Queen's not a good place to go. You need to stay away from that place. If you have some restrictions in your diet, you should stay away from the places that are offering you things you shouldn't be eating. If you have some problems with any issue in your life, don't get close to that line, because I can tell you, over there by that line, there's temptation. And the Word of God says, draw nigh to God, He'll draw near to you. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Don't go over and play with him. You know, he's on the other side of that fence. Oh, you're a nice little devil. No, he's not. He wants to destroy you. And anytime you play with things that's on the other side of that boundary, you get close to it. You know what I'm talking about here, right? Everybody understands. And the enemy is creating, that's your opposition. He's creating circumstances. He's creating difficulties. He's creating things that might drive you in the direction of that boundary. Be aware of what the enemy is doing in your life. And know that your God is on your side. Yes, He gives you strength to be able to overcome. But be wise enough to stay over here in the middle, away from those boundaries. It's a whole lot easier. Much better for all of us. The last thing, when you live within your God-given boundaries, verse 18, and Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them. And then it goes on to say, not only did he dig the wells, re-dig the wells, he dug new wells. Now that's exciting spiritually. We can re-dig the wells that our forefathers dug. And they're spiritually, they're pure. You know, the wells of holiness. Praise God for the holiness movement. The wells of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, praise God for that. The wells of the first great awakening, where people came to the realization that they needed salvation through Jesus Christ. All these wells that have been dug throughout the years, they need to be redug. Because our churches are getting to the point where we're not offering the pure water of the Word. We need to redig them. We can do that. It's not too late. I know a lot of people are saying, well, it's just too late. It's not too late. It's never too late with God. We can redig those wells, and we can dig new wells that will be afresh, that will be the kind of water that will refresh this nation. But it's going to take... My last point this morning is work. That's a horrible word to have to talk about on Sunday morning, I know. But that's what it takes. Amen? We have to work. Isaac had to work. He had to put his men out there working. He had to go out and work and take out the garbage out of the wells. They had to dig new wells. It took work to reestablish the spiritual heritage that had been established by his father Abraham. We got to work. We got to be prepared. We got to prepare ourselves in prayer. We got to prepare ourselves mentally to be able to do what God calls us to. Whatever it might be. Wherever we are, whatever He is calling, whatever He has in the future, I'm just trying to prepare you this morning because God is saying, rise up and work. There's going to be some work to be done. So there's two things that I'm probably going to be asking from you. I'm just trying to prepare you this morning so it's not going to be a huge shock when I do. I'm going to ask for money. How could I say such a thing? And your time. Now, am I afraid to say that? Absolutely not. I'm honored to be a part of the kingdom of God and to be able to say, God is requiring some things of us. Get ready. Get ready. There's work. You know, in 17, I think it was part of the Second Great Awakening, or maybe even beyond that. In 1799, there was a series of meetings. It eventually became known as camp meetings. The Methodist organization thrived during this period of time. The Baptist, there was some just incredible spiritual things that took place. But in 1799, they started having a series of meetings down around in Kentucky. And in Logan County, Kentucky, one of the places was Cane Ridge. But anyhow, what I want to point out in regards to this is that they were having these meetings, and every year it just kept getting stronger and stronger and more powerful, and things were happening. The Methodists were involved, the Baptists were involved, the Presbyterians were involved. It wasn't about denomination, it was about the kingdom of God. People were being healed and delivered and set free, slain in the spirit. Long before most of us really knew what that term was, that was happening. It wasn't just a Pentecostal phenomenon. It was the power of God. And the reason I bring this up is because some of our spiritual forefathers that lived in this area went down there to get what they had. They traveled to this place, and people traveled from all over Kentucky, West Virginia, Ohio. Some even came as far as from Pennsylvania and Indiana. People traveled to this place because something was happening. They got what was happening there, and they took it back to the area, and revival spread all over this nation. The power of God. In, I believe it was 1901, they decided to have another one of these camp meetings. And prior to this, they were having, it was several hundred people. This year, people were so hungry for the Word of God and the power of God, 20,000 people showed up. They didn't have any place to put them. They didn't know what they were going to do with all these people. So they had this camp that was just a kind of a wilderness area, and everybody just kind of camped out there. And all day and most of the night, preachers would get up on stumps and on logs, and they would preach the Word of God. There would be a Methodist over here, a Baptist over there, a Presbyterian down there, and different denominations all over the place. The power of God swept across that place. And as they were preaching, hundreds of people would just fall out in the Spirit. Nobody touched them. Nobody taught them how to do that. It was just the power of God. And because of that, the social order of the United States changed, moved back toward a godly desire. I believe that's the only thing that's going to save this nation now. Amen. Is the power of God to show up. Amen. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.